Tom and Leah are the Watchers.
What episode are we up to now? I know.
19?
No, 18. We're not that close. Yeah, it's 18.
The kiwi fruit anniversary episode.
we can have a drink.
What do you mean drunk?
Sure, we're old enough to have a drunk.
We won't be able to gamble in the US.
Or drink. But we can buy a gun and go to war.
Yay! Episode 18, welcome to We Are The Watchers.
Boom.
Big week of watching, I can say, for all of us.
Yep.
Sure.
I watch so much, I've had to omit things from my list.
Oh no, you've had one of those weeks.
Yeah.
I like to think I watched the appropriate amount. What about you, Ash?
I have watched very little, but it's been of extremely good quality.
Ooh, quality watching.
Amazing quality.
Whoa,
yeah.
Foof.
Yeah, like you need to foof and look out.
We will, of course, be talking about, we'll be talking about We Are The Watchers. We will be talking about The Walking Dead a little bit later on in the program, so if you're hanging out for that, that will be happening, as well as a quiz that Ash and I have kind of got to work on a little bit. We'll workshop it as we go along.
Sure.
But it is for Tom.
We're gonna wing it.
We sure are. That's how we do things the best.
That's how I do best in a test. Studies for the week.
Ooh.
Should have just paid attention when you were in class.
Exactly. But not all of us have a photographic memory. Well, I do, but not all of us.
Some of us have an eidetic memory.
Holy fucking shirt balls.
Remember what I hear. It's handy.
Audio, I'm all right with, but I don't retain as much information. It's the general gist.
Sure.
Yeah. So generally gist this episode by starting with Tom's watching week.
Well, I'll jump in first with some trailers, some stuff that's got me hyped for things that are coming. So first up, Tracy Morgan's coming back. You remember him from 30 Rock?
Yeah.
I'm surprised that you started with that one.
Why's that?
Because something else has dropped. But anyway, go on.
Maybe he's saving the best for last.
Okay.
Yeah, we're working there.
All right.
Hang on. Right. A new show called The Last OG. So Tracy Morgan's been gone from screen for a few years. I don't know if you know, but he was in a horrible car accident.
Terrible accident.
Yes, one of his best friends died.
I don't know about this.
He was in a limo and they were driven off the road by a supermarket chain truck, I believe, or something like that. Yeah, about 2 years ago or something like that, and he had brain damage and all sorts of stuff, and they weren't sure how well he'd recover, and he's recovered quite well.
Yep.
But he has this new show called The Last OG, where he plays a guy that's been in jail for 15 or 20 years and gets released and has to try and adapt to life again.
Okay. Now, because it's got Tracy Morgan in it, can we assume that there's some sort of comedy element?
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a bit of a dramedy.
They work at the moment.
Yes, but it's Cedric the entertainer, Tiffany Haddish, there's a lot of great talent involved, so I got strong hopes for that. That was pretty strong. Also, another new series from AMC called The Terror, which looks fantastic.
Sounds scary.
Well, it's set, I think, like the 1840s, maybe, somewhere around there, and it's about, there's this one straight through the, near the North Pole, which is known as the most horrendous traffic route on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
We've successfully gone to the moon more times than we have traversed this stretch of ocean.
Wow.
And it's the true story of a boat that got stranded. It's executive produced by Ridley Scott. So there's a lot of production values.
Big names.
Yes. However, they've sprinkled in a little bit of supernatural because there appears to be some monster attacking them. So it looks very, very high value, big production. It looks really strong. There's a lot of people from Game of Thrones in it.
Mm-hmm.
I assume all the people who are no longer in Game of Thrones.
Correct.
So
a lot of the
most
dead
of
people.
The cast.
Yeah, dead people with some time on their hands have moved over to this new season, a new show on AMC, and that's starting in a couple of weeks. Might even be paired up with Fear the Walking Dead.
Oh.
Yes. So I have high hopes of that. There's a really good, strong-looking documentary series that I showed Ash the trailer called One Strange Rock.
Yeah.
It's hosted by Will Smith.
Looks great.
As in?
Men in Black.
He's getting jiggy with it.
Mm. Yeah, he's getting jiggy with it and he's talking about space.
Yeah. Huh. I mean, we are living in the new millennium, so it only makes sense.
Good point.
You've been saving that one up, haven't you?
No, I've just been listening to my Big Wheelie Style in the car. I regularly do.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you know that Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was his first acting gig?
Yep.
How did he get it? How did he land such a big show?
Well, he was the Fresh Prince, and he was doing that Wicked, 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 Wicked.
Oh, he's a rapper first.
He was the rapper first, and then Fresh Prince was his actual first acting gig. And in an interview I saw the other week, he's talking about how he'll watch the first few episodes and he'll cringe because you can see him mouthing the other actors' lines. Sure. Like he was that green behind the ears.
I am so onto YouTube to check this out.
Yeah.
Later.
So this series looks amazing. It's all about Earth and the amazing things happening on Earth. And so in the same way that I love Cosmos, which is about space, this is done with the same production values but on Earth.
So is he just narrating, do you know?
Or well, there's a lot of him talking to camera in the in the trailer. So I don't know how involved he is in the actual writing and production of the show, but it's hosted kind of like how Morgan Freeman has a show
That's
called Through the
thinking.
Through the Wormhole.
Yeah.
So I think it might be that kind of sort of thing. But they've got an interview. Well, one of the clips I saw was from one of the astronauts who spent over a year in space talking about how he wishes that everyone on Earth could have had the vantage point he did because it's given him such a deeper appreciation for our planet.
Yeah, I bet. Quick side note. Do you remember we were talking a few months ago, I don't know, it could have been years ago, about the show Mars?
Yeah.
And how there was an astronaut and his twin brother, and the astronaut was going into space for a year and then coming back, and they were going to do tests to see how different they were. 7% difference in their DNA now.
Oh, really?
They're technically no longer identical twins.
Oh.
Very cool.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a side note I grabbed during the week and went,
oh, yes,
we're going to
talk
about
that. That as well.
Yeah, very interesting.
Look, there's a new movie coming on Netflix, which might be in a week or two or something like that. It's called Game Over, Man.
What a great name.
It is, and it stars the three guys from Workaholics, and they're, I believe, maids in a very high-class hotel that gets taken over by terrorists or something like that. So it's Die Hard, but you've got to rely on the housekeeping department. Action comedy. Could be awful, could be great.
It could be awfully great.
It could be awfully great. I've got high hopes. I enjoy those guys. Two more big movie trailers. One.
This might be what you were referring to, Ash.
Maybe the second one. First one was Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, which is the new Harry Potter film.
Yeah.
The trailer. It's interesting because the trailer, you know, the film is called Crimes of Grindelwald. Grindelwald is played by Johnny Depp and he appears for about 1 second in the trailer. That's enough because fuck Johnny Depp.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of people aren't happy he's in the film, including me.
And his dog. Fuck him and his dog.
Weren't there two of them? Or did she get one
in the divorce settlement? She might have got one.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's kind of souring me a little bit. Souring
a lot
of people.
That's sad. That's sad because there would have been a lot of excitement about this.
Can you get past that? Can you get past the personal issues and everything that's going on?
I don't know because...
Hang on. And just appreciate Johnny Depp for who he is because he is an amazing actor.
No, he is not.
No, you don't think?
Not at all.
Really?
I think he had a few good roles back in the 90s, and he's coasted on funny hats, silly accents, and Tim Burton since.
Okay. All right. It's not easy to put those. I mean, Pirates of the Caribbean, that particular character.
Well, the first one was
Jack
great.
Sparrow.
First one was great.
Yeah, the four times he's done it since has been very phoned in. You know, he had an earpiece for the last film with someone reading his lines in
no
his ear.
No way.
Are you serious, or
that
is that a rumor?
Can't be true.
Nope. 100%.
That's just
and imagine
lazy.
How much money
he's
you got paid for that.
Incredibly lazy.
Respect none. Now, if that's the case,
yeah.
Learn your fucking lines, man. Just like Will Smith did in French.
Yeah, it was the French version
of Les Belair.
Yep. Quick side note once again. Go onto YouTube and have a look for different versions of the Fresh Prince theme in different languages.
Because
as the show came out, it got dubbed, so they had to dub the rap. Fun.
That's funny.
Yeah, there's a few of them. And one last...
Well, look, it's difficult for me because I really enjoyed that first Fantastic Beasts until... And if you haven't seen it, I apologize for the spoiler, but until the reveal of Johnny Depp in the last 10 minutes of the film, then I... fucking Johnny Depp's here. Pulled me out of the film completely.
Oh, no.
So I'm excited to see Jude Law playing young Dumbledore. I think he's a great casting choice. And I'm keen to see where the movie goes because I love that series, but I am going to just dread any time Johnny Depp ruins
the film. How much
do
you think he'll actually be on screen?
Well, the film is called The Crimes of Grindelwald, so there's a very strong chance of
I was just wondering if maybe he was sort of in the background doing evil things and then people would occasionally stumble upon him.
It wouldn't surprise me if they use him a little bit like He Who Shall Not Be Named, a bit of Voldemort sprinkled through the first few films and then growing importance and screen time as it goes on, but it could be the flip and this could be the film focusing on him.
Is this like the prequel?
Yes.
This is in the land before time.
Yes. So Harry Potter OG is 90s, and this one's in 1920s.
Okay. Do you have any fear surrounding this that maybe they're just trying to squeeze every last drop out of the Harry Potter franchise?
Not really. Look, it's an interesting story. It's from J.K. Rowling, and she's involved, and she's written the script and this sort of stuff, so it's actually coming from the same person. So it's not as cheap
it's
a cash in.
Adaptation.
No. But at the same time, a lot of the themes and stuff that worked with Harry Potter so well aren't present in this series, and so there's a lot less hook.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to what you're both waiting for me to talk about,
which is
Avengers Infinity War. I have restarted watching the Marvel movies from the beginning.
Wow.
I challenged. He's prepping himself.
Oh, look, we've got over a month. It comes out 25th, Anzac Day in Australia, so I will be able to see it at least twice during that day, if not three times.
Whoa. You go to bed dreaming of it.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing, okay.
No. I have a lot of hopes. This is going to be Thanos' film, 100%. I think from bits and pieces that I've read that he's the main character. Like, this is Marvel's first film from the perspective of a villain.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Yes.
All right. Is he all CGI, do you know?
Yes.
He is?
Yes.
Okay.
So Josh Brolin is in the motion capture suit, who you might know from No Country for Old Men.
Oh, the bad guy with the...
No, that's Javier Bardem.
Josh Brolin from The Goonies.
Yes, from The Goonies.
Ah, right.
He was the old kid. Do you remember the really super old kid that just looked almost like an adult?
I'm going to duck for cover after I say this.
Oh, you haven't seen it.
Yep. I've seen No Country for Old Men, one of my favourite flicks.
Well, he's the good guy that isn't the old cop.
Yep, gotcha.
Yes. A lot of them are going to die. A lot of the Avengers are going to die, if not
next year.
There's been talk about it, yeah.
Well, we get Avengers 3 this year and Avengers 4 next year. And they haven't revealed the title of Avengers 4 yet because they say it's a big spoiler for the ending of Part 3.
Ah, okay.
But if it's following this comic storyline in any way, Thanos' mission, he's weirdly in love with the actual physical embodiment of death, a skeletal woman, and wants to impress her and decides the best way to do that is to literally kill half the universe.
Mm.
So when he gets the gauntlet, it has the six stones that control soul, mind, power,
Is that a glove?
Yes.
Yes.
Fancy glove. How can you blah, blah, all six stones that control the universe?
Well, one of them, we still don't know the exact location. I will go out on a limb here now and say it's in Wakanda.
I think you say Taboo.
No. I think the... You saw Black Panther? Yeah?
No.
No, not yet. Seeing it this week.
Okay. The first minute a meteor crashes from space. I think the stone might be in that meteor.
Cool.
So we won't find out until the Avengers. But one of them's in Vision's head. One of them's in Doctor Strange's amulet. One of them's on Xandar, which is the one that was from Guardians of the Galaxy 1. One of them is with the Collector, which Thor gave him at the end of Thor 2. And one of them is in the Tesseract, which is that cube that was on Asgard that Loki picked up at the end of Thor Ragnarok.
This is why people have to rewatch them to remember where they're all located.
So that's the five that we know of, and there's one stone left to discover, which I believe is orange.
All right. Could be a kidney stone.
A kidney stone's orange?
Oh, it can be.
I'm going with Ash's guess.
There's all sorts of random spots that it could be.
so true.
That was a very diplomatic response.
That's so true.
Everyone is in it. Like, literally every solo hero we've seen in any Marvel film is in there at some point. And then you've also got Gwyneth Paltrow. And
she's back.
Yes, Marissa Tomei might pop up.
Marissa Tomei?
She's Spider-Man's aunt.
She was too.
Yes.
There's been a lot of screen caps with somebody delicately drawing a red circle around things from the trailer. That's almost flooded Twitter. I was looking at it yesterday, the day before, and I went, whoa, there's a lot of people doing breakdowns of this trailer.
Sure.
And are you the kind of person, Tom, where you just want to watch the trailer and walk away and not watch any more of it? Or are you happy to look at the breakdowns?
It depends on things. I didn't need a breakdown for this one. I just used my papers and paid attention, watched the trailer twice, got a pretty good idea of what's going on. Things look very sour for both Thor and Cap. There's a moment where Thanos wraps his giant hand around Thor's head and begins to crush.
That's got a hoit.
Yes. And similarly, Cap knocks back against Thanos. Thanos goes to punch. Cap goes to punch back, and Thanos catches his hand and begins to break his hand backwards.
I remember that little bit, yeah.
Yes. So I suspect we're going to see a fair few. Well, look, everyone in the original Avengers, all six of them, their contracts end at the end of Avengers 4.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yes.
Can't wait for it. Yeah. It'll be good.
It'll be a lot of fun.
We've got front row seats, yeah.
Yes. And just as a friendly reminder, Hawkeye is in this. He's not been in any trailers or on the posters or anything, and Jeremy Renner's doing his best just to remind everyone that Hawkeye is in this.
Okay. So we're all...
His Instagram's been fun.
Okay. So everyone's in it.
Yep.
It's all in.
So impressive. Everyone. Hawkeye from Guardians, Ash is going to be there.
Guardians of the Galaxy are rocking in.
Yeah.
Just
just one big Marvel,
it's
marvelous.
It's a big Marvel loving.
Yeah.
Imagine if they had a salary cap like the NRL does. Imagine the salary cap. This movie.
I think this is the most expensive film ever made.
I wouldn't be surprised
because they filmed 3 and 4 back to back.
Ah, right.
And so cumulatively, they'd be dealing with a budget of over $600 million, I imagine, somewhere around there. Something.
They'll make it. They'll make it back.
Yeah, that's what's that? That's 6 houses in Sydney.
Small ones.
Yes. Small ones.
They will make that back so quickly. Black Panther had set the previous record for most pre-sale tickets in a day. It beat the previous record in a day. And Avengers Infinity War has broken its record in under 6 hours.
It's absolutely insane. Well, that could potentially be the movie of the year.
Well, I think we should go and see it as early as possible and then jump in here and record a special episode and we can dissect it and we can talk about what I think is going to come in part 4.
I like the way he thinks.
Abso-fuffin-lutely.
Nice.
If you're down, peeps, let us know because that will encourage us to do so and then you can let us know what you're thinking as well.
Yeah, get in touch. Thoughts. Get in touch. How can you do that, Leah?
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Send a raven.
Send a raven. Ash, you were saying you've been watching nothing but quality this week.
Absolute gold.
I think you say garbage then.
Absolute garbage made of gold. Amazing stuff. I have to say, I've never really been a massive fan of Ricky Gervais. Not a huge fan.
Is it the awkwardness?
A little bit of the awkwardness. I've felt at times that he's gone for shock value, which is just, you know, that's my gig.
Don't step on my toes.
Okay. All right.
Just don't. Fair enough.
Just don't do it.
Totally valid.
And it's, however, in his, this has just dropped on Netflix, which is called Ricky Gervais Humanity. And he starts to deconstruct his own humor and explain things. He reverse engineers it and goes through it with you. In particular, he starts talking at the top of the show. He's talking about Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah, I saw this live last year.
Oh, did you?
In the UK. It's a live show.
That's the tour he's been doing.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's
nice.
Let me ask you, what do you think?
It was brilliant.
Yeah.
It was very good.
And kicked off the show talking about Caitlyn Jenner and the Golden Globe jokes and things like that and how just the outrage that takes place now in social media and how social media has become a platform just for people just to go, I don't like what you're saying. and sort of starts to break that down a little bit and how social media and the digital age is changing society as a whole. And he does it in a really, really clever way. I never had a clue how intelligent this guy was, but when you're standing up on stage for a good hour and 20 minutes, just absolutely nailing every joke, and then explains how the joke works. It's sort of like a magician showing off his tricks, but you're not disappointed at the end of it. It's like, oh, now I get it even more.
Interesting way to approach a stand-up show. I mean, for Ricky.
Yeah.
To sort of do the deconstruction.
Like I said, it's like an illusionist or a magician standing up there doing a trick and then everyone giving it a big clap and then he goes, now this is how I've done the trick and you get an even bigger round of applause.
Well, it's funny you say that. Part of his thing is, and he's very open, is that he's not a stand-up, he's a performer. So he writes a show and that show is ironclad and I would imagine that there'd be maybe 10% difference between what I saw live 9 months ago compared to what's gone out on air.
Mm.
His skill, his talent is writing, and so he likes to have everything locked down, prepared, and he'll workshop bits and pieces and stuff like that, but he's very good at making clearly written stuff in advance seem very casual and off the cuff.
Yeah,
that's one of his very strong suits.
Yes. Yeah, the only downside that I did find with it was that he likes to put himself up on a bit of a pedestal. He reminds people constantly of his wealth. Funny-ish,
I will say, sort of way as well. I'm guessing the show was recorded in the UK because in the UK that goes over a lot better than it does here because class system is so much more important in the UK.
Yeah.
So he was lower class and he's gotten up, and so that's why he's making all that joke. I agree, it's quite grating.
I think it may have been filmed in the US because there's reference to Beverly Hills and him living there and seeing people and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Which, again, it's all very similar, whereas in Australia we're far more reserved when we talk about class. Look, apart from that, it was absolutely fantastic and a really nice message at the end. Again, towards the end, he pushes his cause of protection of animals and against cruelty to animals, which he's very, very, very passionate
about.
Very
passionate.
And good for him. And, and just basically about society in general and how we're changing as a species
in
society and how we react to things and how we've become so reactive to just the most, you know, you can say the smallest thing and offend so many bloody people.
And I think because he's got such a big social media presence, I know Twitter, he's tweeting all the time.
He's big on Twitter.
And you can imagine the disproportionate amount, like he might tweet three times a day, the amount that he gets back would just be insane.
I'm going to sit down and I'm going to watch it again because I enjoyed it that much.
Oh, really?
Yeah, very, very good. Do yourself a favour, check it out.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1. You have been warned.
One other thing that I've watched, which was just now, just before we started recording this, was The Walking Dead.
Yes.
What were we thinking?
I like this episode.
So did I.
Yeah, a lot of stuff was going on and it's leading on to other things, and I feel like we checked in with a lot of people and progressed. You know, sometimes in The Walking Dead in the middle of seasons, you feel like you're checking in just so that we're reminded of where they're up to, but this was where you were checking in and then following through with something else.
Absolutely, and I found that especially, well, I was a little bit confused. I was on the bus on the way here and I thought that there was something wrong with the gearbox on the bus because I kept hearing this. It turns out it was just Daryl's dialogue.
People get mixed up with that all the time. His voice, I wouldn't mind going back to the first season and just to get an idea of how much he has changed his voice to sound like gearbox grinding.
I think you'd also find that his character is about 100 IQ dumber.
Yes. Over time, do you think he's just
sometimes I think about all the people we've lost and then I hear no more.
Like, his stuff he was saying was high school poetry level bad.
Yeah, but you know, he says so much with just a look. I mean, when Judith returns,
just have him look
and Rick,
don't talk.
Rick holds Judith and Rick looks at Daryl and Daryl looks at Rick. There's enough said. It's like, you can see the look that, hey, thanks for bringing my kid home, man. She's safe. And inside, Daryl's going...
That's right.
I agree with you, Tom. Just get it all out in a look. Or maybe you can start sign language.
That said, we shouldn't encourage them to focus more on looks because we've got another one of them montages of close-up eyes. Remember how we started the episode? Oh, now it's time. Look, he's Negan looking.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
Simon looking. He's Dwight looking with a squint.
Do you think it might be time for Rick to lose an eye?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I just want the producers to stop doing this dumb slow-mo focus on people's eyes that, you know, they did so many in the first half of this season as well of just, great, you spent 3 minutes slow-moing on faces.
Get on with the story.
Get on with something.
We've got a new character as well.
Georgie.
Girl.
Is she in the comics, Tom?
Nope.
No.
Nope. Is she dumb? Yep. Should she have been over on Z Nation? Yep.
I don't know if she's that dumb. Sort of reminded me a little bit of, she's like The Walking Dead's Martha Stewart.
I thought she had a Glenn Close aura to her.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Actually, a combination.
Might be a little bit of a combo there.
Yeah. But what I liked about her was years of The Walking Dead, seasons of The Walking Dead, you'd be introduced to new groups and people and you'd be trying to figure out their deal. Are they evil or not? Should Rick kill them or what's going on? We haven't had that much recently apart from, you know, the garbage kids. But this is sort of the first small group. It's not a community. It's a small group and they're trying to do trading. And I wondered if there was something more to them. But I like the fact that it was a whole new idea. She wanted to trade information. She wanted records. She didn't want audio ones.
Not
no
spoken
audio
word.
Books, no.
I liked the fact when they first arrived and Midge and Hilda, who were the two offsiders, were wearing speed dealer glasses. They just looked like dodgy people. So I thought maybe that's what they were trading.
It's quite a...
we bought some meth.
It's quite a funny setup. I mean, you've got it's three chicks.
Yep.
Yeah, in a
camper van.
Monster truck camper van.
Yeah, big wheels.
With like, it'd make Gravedigger look like play school. Really, how? It's quite an odd sort of look. What are they doing in the camper van? What's the deal with that?
And she kind of brought together the rest of the world, whether she was lying or not. You never know in The Walking Dead. She said, "There's not much out there like this, like you guys.
Like you guys. You're very special. You're very special." I was wondering if they'd probably like to set up camp at Seaside.
Yeah, probably. Surely they've met Seasiders.
No, I reckon they have.
I don't know how long you'd stay at Seaside.
Spent the night.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Got a sticker on the back of the van. If the vans are rocking, don't come and knock them.
Oh. What else did you enjoy about this episode? Did you like the fact that Negan and Rick just went at it?
I love seeing the zombies on fire.
I like Lucille on fire. That was awesome.
Mm.
I was bothered by the stakes because it's not a finale, so no one was going to die.
Mm.
That was difficult when he was hanging him from the ledge.
Yeah.
You were like, oh, just take his fingers, take his hand, do something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, once again, they were teasing with the losing a limb. Mm-hmm.
There was, and it was a very cliche thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little bit Star Wars-esque in a way.
Yes, very much.
That false swipe with the weapon, and then it's like, oh, hanging on for dear life.
Homage to Star Wars.
It was good that Simon's now grown a pair and trying to do something.
Or is he?
What do you mean?
Should he be?
Yes.
Or should he just... Negan's the boss, man.
Negan's leading them all to their death.
Yeah, you reckon?
100%.
I reckon Rick and him will make up. I'll have a little kiss and
maybe so, but Simon isn't privy to that sort of info or combo. From the information he's got, he's being led again to go up against these people that just keep killing his people.
They're
walk
relentless.
Away, wash your hands, walk away, accept the loss.
It's quite an interesting matrix of dynamics and personalities that I'm seeing sort of start to fester with the saviors, with Dwight. Dwight's sort of... He's killed his own people, but he's still on the inside. You've got Simon doing his thing, and you've got Negan still wanting to rule the roost. Something's got to give somewhere. And especially now that Negan knows about Simon's indiscretions with the heapsters.
At first I thought, ooh, Simon's dead meat, and then I thought, Jadis has him. Mm. Negan's nowhere near the saviors. Dwight and Simon could potentially start steering the saviors in the direction that they want the saviors to be, which I know in the comics Dwight does.
Yes.
Now, I don't know how, but this looks like an avenue that they could go down that storyline in. Negan's really, he's down and out. He's been taken captive. Mm. Does it matter what he knows about Simon at this point in time?
I think it's going to, not at this particular point in time, but it's certainly going to down the track.
Will he have the power over the saviors by the time he comes back to give that information to the rest of the saviors?
I think it depends on whether Simon keeps stoking the I'm Negan fire, because he played on everyone's expectations and, you know, what the rules and regulations of being Negan. He's still using that power. So when Negan himself walks back into camp, he could just grab the control. Sorry, Simon, you're player two again.
How do you think Jadis got hold of Negan? He's Rick and Jadis. Are they mates? Has there been some sort of backdoor deal going on here? Because Rick just left her in the lurch. Now all of a sudden, Rick kind of had Negan, but now
Jadis does.
I believe it's a Latin phrase, Deus ex machina.
Right, can you translate that for me?
Sure. It basically means a fanciful solution that came from nowhere.
Oh, okay. You don't think we'll find out?
Well, all I mean is the last we saw, she was stranded in the dumpster heap. She's not teamed up with anyone. How she could possibly know where that fight was going to go and grab Negan to, you know what I mean? There were so many steps for that to happen.
Mm-hmm. She looks a bit tired.
She does.
She's over it.
Yeah.
But I think she's kind of relentless, though. I honestly didn't think we'd see her for ages.
Yeah. I still like her. I think she's a good character. Like her.
Me too.
Good stuff.
Me too. All right. So how many more episodes of The Walking Dead do we have for this season?
Tom said four, but I think he's wrong.
20?
Four.
Huh. That was close. So we should start to be seeing some storylines that are leading us towards the finale at this point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maggie, I think... has to go and do a few other things because she's sort of that. I understand that whole Georgie thing was supposed to be here's some information for you.
Oh,
Maggie,
look, that is just setting up for when they do the time jump. If this season finishes with them defeating Negan, then they should do a time jump, that way her baby can be a year and a half or 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
and where we'll see the developed community, and that's
when Georgie comes back.
Look, it was never explained directly in the comics, but with the time jump that happened, obviously they'd learned of the medieval structures from somewhere. Yeah, so by having that in the show, that means when they do the time jump, no one's questioning how come they've got silos. Who learned it? Eugene's with the bad guys. It's just they've got a printed out book from Quick Copy.
Love Quick Copy.
Well, I don't know for certain, but I'm pretty sure Georgie said that she worked at the copier or something, or since the photocopy place. So either she was holed up with the other two in a photocopy place for a long time making those copies, or she worked in a photocopy shop back in the day.
Mm. Quick Copy. Whatever.
She seemed like a librarian.
She did.
But at Kinko's.
Yeah, Kinko's. That's the name I was looking for. Mm. Thank you.
No worries.
Loves a bit of Dewey Decimal. Don't we all?
In a world that time forgot, we are the Watchers.
I watched something this week.
What you watch, Leah?
What did you watch? You watch a watch?
I watched a show which was a movie on Netflix called Annihilation. Mm. Can I tell you? The soundtrack is about, I don't know, 8 notes stuck in my head for days.
Is it Clint Mansell? Did he do the soundtrack?
Yeah.
And it's you actually referenced the movie that the maker of Annihilation had made before.
There's Ex Machina.
Yeah, when you were speaking, the Latin.
That Latin stuff.
That's right. So Annihilation has Natalie Portman in it, and in the US has been released in cinemas.
I love Natalie Portman.
We got it for free on Netflix. Well, obviously, and apparently Europe as well.
Yep,
got it on Netflix. I don't know whether they thought the movie wasn't going to go that well globally. I'm not too sure. But I think it would have. I think it would look amazing on the big screen. I enjoyed the story. However, after it finished, I started thinking about it. And there were little bits that I went, that made no sense. Why would they do that? Why didn't they explain that little bit? That's not trying to be mysterious. I feel that that's just a little bit of a plot hole. Mm. Yeah, just a few little bits and pieces. So a quick synopsis without giving too much away.
Were they leaving it open for a number two?
No.
And I don't mean poop.
I don't think so. Unless it's very different. But a meteor plummets to Earth, and then I think it's a couple of years later, Natalie Portman is visited by her husband who works in the military. She hasn't seen him for a year. He doesn't remember who she is, how he got to where they met, which was their house, and where he'd been for the past year. And somewhere along the lines, she ends up finding out what happened, and then she becomes part of what his mission had been, which was going to this zone, which looks like it's a big bubble. You know when you blow bubbles as a kid and you blow the really big one, it's got that soapy aura about it.
What do you mean as a kid?
Oh, sorry.
When you blow bubbles.
That you were doing earlier today. Yeah. And inside that, they've had groups that go in that try and find the cause of this weird soapy aura. And they never come back, except for Natalie Portman's husband.
Oh.
I can't remember anything. Da, da, da. So she goes in.
Is this soapy aura? Can I ask, would this be the equivalent of Stranger Things where you always get the snow, where it's always snowing in the upside down land? So
yes.
It's a similar sort of...
It's all a little bit weird, and it appears that the meteor has brought along some strange biological changes that have been affecting the area that I'm going to call the soapy bubble is looking over.
Is it a very girl power film?
A little bit, but not as much as you think. It's got that more Stranger Things, but just, you know, that weird feeling that a lot of those movies have where you go, what on earth is going on here? This is a bit strange. Like I said, though, there were those holes where you just think, I could have enjoyed it more if you were a scientist taking experiments, but you actually wore gloves or just didn't pick it off the ground with your hand that had been obviously not washed since you went into the soapy bubble aura. Just strange things like that.
This
alligator attacks them, and they that happens, and then they start canoeing across the water and having conversations about their lives. Like, why would you do that? You know there was a giant alligator. Surely there's others. Little bits and pieces like that. that. But I did like the end where it just reminded me of a certain level in a Tomb Raider game. And I don't want to give too much away, but I remember calling her the evil Lara and the good Lara.
Mm.
Strange things. Anyway, if you've got some time, go and watch it at home. Yeah, but you probably will be annoyed by the plot holes.
Mm-hmm.
Another
Keep an eye out for them and don't fall in them.
Yeah, don't fall in them. Another one I watched, which funnily enough was actually on Netflix as well. It's going to have season two, like in a week or so.
Mm.
And it's got Drew Barrymore in it. And I don't know why I'd steered clear of it, but I had.
It's very funny.
I really like it.
Yeah.
And it is called Santa Clarita Diet.
Oh, okay. I've heard about this. She was on Chelsea lately.
She likes to eat meat.
Yeah.
Raw. Preferably human.
Oh.
She doesn't know why.
Mm.
That's just what's happening.
Look, she's only killed three people. Don't make a big deal out of it.
Yeah, whatever.
It's nothing, man.
They were bad people.
It's nothing.
Funny. It was actually, my sister said, you've got to watch this. Why haven't you watched it yet? I've been telling you to watch it for 6 months. I went, all right. Watched a couple of episodes and now I'm hooked.
I'm sort of envisaging a bit of a Cannibal sort of comeback. That was a huge thing when Hannibal was around, Silence of the Lambs. That was a massive sort of thing. I reckon it's going to come back. We're going to have like a vampire or like a zombie. The next thing's going to be cannibalism, I reckon.
I reckon that was about 3 years ago.
You reckon?
Yeah, there was three different cannibal films plus Hannibal on TV.
Yeah. X-Files just did a whole thing on cannibalism as well. Did you watch that episode?
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, I'm sorry, I just spoiled
that
for you.
It doesn't matter.
Pretty fucking gut-churning.
I tell you what, when Drew Barrymore is chewing away on you know those half kilo containers of mints, raw mints you get at the supermarket?
Yeah.
I'm thinking, and then I thought, how's she actually doing that? What is that actually made out of? Because if she's doing that for real, she'd be sick.
I used to eat raw meat. Serious, raw steaks.
Really?
Yeah, you can do it. You should sear it just to get rid of, just in case there's any
ticks that damage your brain.
What?
Nice podcast. They make them for men.
Tom, you've only spoken about stuff that you, trailers that you've watched.
Uh-huh, things that I'm excited for, but I've got a few things that I did watch. I'll get through some of them quick, and some of them we can go into a little bit more depth. So I watched Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, which is the new Jumanji film. Way better than I was going to give it credit for.
Do you put it on the same pedestal as the original?
They're different things.
They are different things.
It's a different storyline, isn't it?
Yes. So basically the game tries to entice a young guy in the 90s. He's not interested. The game notices that he's far more into a video game console, so it changes itself into a game cartridge.
Mm.
Gets plugged in, kid gets sucked into game, and so on. The most fun part of it is because it's four teenagers that get sucked in that we're following.
Mm.
The airhead, kind of self-centered, blonde, good-looking girl gets turned into Jack Black.
That's right, I remember in the trailer.
And Jack Black has a whale of a time playing a sassy teenage girl. You go, girlfriend.
As he would.
He's really
Left
funny.
It up.
Very, very, very
And The
good.
Rock is in it?
The Rock is great, and it's not often that you see The Rock play someone insecure, but the nerdy, awkward, socially maladjusted teenager is the one that gets turned into The Rock, and he spends a lot of his time very interested in his own biceps.
Mm-hmm.
Grabbing and this
as
sort of
you
stuff.
Would be.
Yep. Kevin Hart is tolerable as usual.
Hmm. He is so rich.
He's done very well for himself.
Yeah.
I think
so
he saves a lot on food. he's a small man.
Yep.
And then, Karen Gillan, who is Amy Pond from Doctor Who, or she was Nebula, the blue chick in the Guardians films. She mm-hmm. plays Ruby Roundhouse.
Mm.
That's a great role for her.
Well, great name.
Yeah.
Great name.
She's doing really well pushing into America. Because she's Scottish.
I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So, yes, Jumanji, worth your time for, it was an hour and a half, but it was a bit of a rollicking adventure.
Yep.
Nick Jonas appears, my favourite Jonas brother.
As if anybody would have another Jonas
brother. I
don't
know, people love Joe Jonas, DNCE, his new group. They're pretty funky.
I know that they're two completely different beasts. They're not related at all. This isn't Jumanji 2. It is an old story with
there
fresh
twist. There is only one shout out to the original film,
okay.
Which is a hut that they stay in at one point has Alan Parrish scrawled into the wall. That was Robin Williams' character's name. So they're staying in where he had stayed during the years that he was trapped in the game. That's about all.
A little homage.
Yes, okay. So it's a nice little shout. The game constraints are similar to what it was, but it's a nice way of jettisoning the old one and trying something different.
I thought it was interesting. My kids, they went and saw the new one at the movies, and then I started talking about the old one, how amazing the old one. Did you know it's 20 years old? Might be more, actually.
It's much
more.
Might
be 96. 25 more. Anyway. It's old. And I said to the kids, do you want to watch it? And they're like, oh, I don't want to watch an old movie. You know, they're around seven. I don't want to watch it. No, no, no. I don't want to see stuff that you've seen, Dad, you know, black and white.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's not like that. Like, I think you'll like it. So, and I put it on for them. They haven't stopped watching it. They still watch it.
So do you think they like it more than the newer one?
I don't know because, well, the new one's just dropped on iTunes and stuff, hasn't it? So let's see how they go.
Yeah.
They haven't watched the new one yet, so I might do that, and I'll report back next week.
If you could, that'd be great.
It's the Battle of the Jumanjis.
I rewatched a movie that I think is about 2 years old called Pop Star Never Stop Never Stopping, and it's a mockumentary concert type thing. It's kind of difficult to explain, but it's stars the Lonely Island, who are the guys from Saturday Night Live. Andy Samberg is the main
They're
one.
They're on a boat, y'all.
Exactly. And they were a teen group kind of like Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch called Style Boys. And then they split up and their main guy goes solo. And it's kind of taking the piss out of Justin Timberlake and Marky Mark at the same time. He's an airhead rapper wannabe white boy. Hilariously funny. Like, I cannot stress.
I've seen it lurking there, and I've hovered over it.
Well, it never got a theatrical release in Australia, and it had a very small release in the States. The studio behind it didn't have a ton of faith in it, so it's gotten a strong cult following online.
Oh, okay.
So I recommend checking that one out, just because there's some amazingly good songs. Like, they could have put a lot of those songs out as singles.
I think we should remember that these guys have had, you know, I'm on a Boat, Y'all. But they were also nominated for an Oscar with the song that they sang with Tegan and Sarah for the Lego movie, Everything Is Awesome. That's those guys.
Mm. Yes. So they wrote a lot of that song.
Very talented.
And they've written a lot of songs that were in contention for Grammys and stuff like that. Because it's not just I'm on a Boat. They did Dick in a Box.
That's right.
Yeah. They've got... And
that was with Justin Timberlake, or at least... Yeah.
It was. And they did a sequel to that of Mother Lover, which is about for Mother's Day of they should fuck each other's mums.
Oh.
Sweet.
But their first song that was big was Lazy Sunday, which you might remember from the beginnings of when things went viral. It was about basically getting high, going and buying donuts, and then going and seeing Lord of the Rings.
Sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff that people still do.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the movie called again?
Pop Star, Never Stop, Never Stopping.
Sounds like...
Mm.
It's a piss take on Justin Bieber's Never Say Never.
Oh, right.
Yes. Seal is in the film. Nice. Has a great time.
Mm.
Yes. So really recommend that one. It was very strong. I checked out the first episode of a show called Deception, which is a new one that I thought I'd be more into, and I'm going to give it another episode or two before I make a final judgment, but it's one of those... An expert in a crazy field suddenly becomes wrapped up with some police work and so starts working as a consultant for the cops or the FBI or something like that. Except this one's about a master illusionist. You know, it's what if Dynamo basically was disgraced as a magician but instead got involved with the cops.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I've ever mentioned on the podcast, but I quite enjoy magic and do a lot of magic myself. It was weird seeing a show kind of revealing bits and pieces of magic that had no place to be doing so.
Interesting.
Mm. Yes.
You didn't take too kindly to that, by the sounds of it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a funny one. Mm. The golden rule of magic is thou shalt not tell.
Absolutely.
That's a shame.
You don't ruin it. So it's very basic stuff that they're showing, but it's still some very early building blocks of magic. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see where the show goes from here, whether they rely on that too much or whether it becomes about the grand illusionist. However, his engineer guy, the guy that builds all his tricks, is Vinnie Jones.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Who's a very hard man.
Oh.
Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. No. Was he in Snatch?
Yeah.
You see the plumbing guy?
Yeah, he used to be a footballer.
Yes, he was like the most violent soccer player
with the thick glasses? That guy?
No.
No?
That gets blown away with a shotgun? As soon as you see his face, you go immediately. All right, we're going to have to look this
up. Stand by, people. We're looking this up.
As soon as that... Oh, yeah, there we go. There we go.
Oh, yeah. He's a tough one.
Mm. He is.
Got to head like a bucket of smashed crabs.
So, yes, there's some cool people through there and stuff like that. I'll give it another episode. All good. Similarly, last night, I know I've mentioned in the past this show, The Crossing, which is about the refugees suddenly showing up on a beach. Mm. So the pilot dropped on iTunes last night. I think it starts on TV maybe today or
something. Right.
Very, very soon.
Yeah, I want to check this out.
Yes. So I definitely want two more episodes to give it. It was good. It wasn't great.
That's a shame.
Well, look, I thought it would be like a Lost. It's far more like an Under the Dome, like a Stephen King style type thing.
Okay.
So it's got some cool hooks and stuff, and it's more about hooks than mysteries.
Right.
But yes, there were a couple of swerves in there that I wasn't expecting. A few things that I won't give away now because I want to encourage people to go and check out this first episode. And if people are enjoying it, we can talk about it regularly.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, it's a really cool concept. This, you know, I mentioned that there were a ton of refugees that come back. This is not a spoiler. This is the promos. Like more than 90% of those refugees die instantly.
Oh, really?
Yes. So it's only a small sliver of all of them that actually survive. And then most of them are keeping mum about what's...
Must be due to casting budget.
Well, they need to because I watched an hour of it and I would struggle to say any characters' names because there are so many people in this ensemble cast.
Okay.
You know, there's 10, maybe 12 of the refugees that we've focused on. There's the cops in the local town. There's the FBI. There's the media. So it's got the potential to be really sprawling narrative, which is great.
Yeah.
And a lot of government conspiracy and cover-up stuff already in the mix.
Nice. Oh, no, it sounds like it's got the makings of something that's going to be good. I hope that the next few episodes not just draw you in further, but,
I'm hoping it will expand on this world.
Yeah.
Because, as I said, there's a few things that happen at the end that made me go, okay, this is this is a deeper concept than I first thought. There's more going on here. They're right to be suspicious of these people.
I'm definitely intrigued about that. What else have you
been
watching?
I got one last one. Nice. It's a bit of a feel-good show. It's called Built for the Weekend, and it's these two guys that run a construction company, and I think it might even be in Canada or something, but they try whenever they get a break for a weekend or a couple of days to do a housing or a construction job for a struggling family for something to benefit the whole family on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So this first episode is about a family that bought a plot of land right next to a river. They haven't been able to do much with it. I think they've got a small caravan and stuff on there. These guys come out, build a full dock for them, and then about 20 metres into the water, an octagonal two-storey water feature playground.
It sounds like Better Homes and Gardens, dude.
Oh, it sounds like
Johanna Griggs appear in this one? Or that really annoying carpenter?
I don't know.
That's overexcited about everything.
Never watch Better Homes and Gardens.
Okay.
Don't bother with Australian versions of this stuff. They've got no budget. But these guys are working with a clear budget and it's a little bit charity work. And so there's a feel-good vibe of they're doing something cool for families with kids and stuff like that. There's another one where they build a small A-frame building in like 4 days, complete with shower and everything like this for this family. So they've got somewhere to live.
Oh, wow.
And stuff like that. So it was nice to see a bit of a feel-good show that wasn't just about, you know, we're going to try and flip this for $5 million or anything. This is just some guys building stuff.
Doing
out of
stuff.
A bit of the heart.
Doing it for people.
Good for them.
Built for the Weekend.
Nice.
It's
my nickname.
Built for the Weekend.
I need, because I watch a lot of new stuff like this and I like to jump around genres, I need palate cleansers. I need those things that I can just chuck on a 20-minute episode of and let the mind come back down, and then you can jump back in on something that requires attention.
Ash, you know how we were saying that there's going to be a quiz for Tom?
Oh, yes.
This was a quiz that we got as an email.
Oh.
From a guy called Damien. And he said...
Is he evil?
Evil Damien. Mm. Oh, that explains the email address. Yeah, he is evil. But he said that Tom has spoken of his love for Lego games, as in video games, and he wanted to give him a challenge of trying to name as many in 10 seconds, and I think that's too hard. So what do you think, Ash? I don't know. Should we do 30 seconds instead? See how many he's got? The only problem is I've looked
Why make it easier? We're sitting next to the... that's the brain's trust of what we do. Like, let's be honest. We've got... It's you and I are here, Leon. Yeah. We talk and we do our thing.
We but just
let's,
say yes
let's,
occasionally.
Let's be honest. Tom's the brain's trust. I don't want to make it easy on him.
But you realise what I'm doing now.
I know. I'm just
you're
talking about
me
him.
Time.
Oh, Tom. Oh, sorry. Sorry, mate.
Give me time.
But Ash, I need the time because I need to explain what the technicality is.
Oh.
I looked up the list of Lego games, the video games. Mm. It's like there's okay. so many.
Yeah.
So I think
that's what you, but you need a challenge.
But if you tie them just to licensed games,
all right, we can do
they're
that.
They're based on films, TVs, and series. Then
okay.
It's a bit of a different.
So just
thing.
Licensed games. But I think what I'll do is I'll look at the list. Would you be able to do like a stopwatch?
Oh, really? I'm on stopwatch duty?
Or you can look at the list.
I'll do the stopwatch.
Because I really don't think one person can do all of this.
All right, my next question is, do I have to say the word Lego in front of all of them? Because that's going to add at least 2 seconds in a 10-second time frame. Do I have to say, for example...
No, that's a given. Lego's given.
Okay.
Like, we know that that's just it.
Yeah, I know. I'm happy with that.
But we will be fact-checking after this. Right. And if there are any mistakes, you will lose a finger for each one. Seconds are on the clock, starting now.
Star Wars original 1 through 3, then Star Wars prequel 1 through 3. Last Jedi hasn't come out yet, so Force Awakens. There wasn't one for Rogue One. Harry Potter years 1 through 4. Harry Potter 5 through 7. Lego Ninjago. Lego Movie game. Marvel Superheroes. Marvel Superheroes 2. Lego Avengers, Jurassic World,
Time's
Jurassic.
Up.
Wow.
Bloody hell.
He was,
I think there was
flying through those.
11 there, but it's quite hard to decipher because he clumped a lot of them in.
Which I think is okay. Maybe I could perhaps look at the ones that he didn't pick because there weren't that many.
You know what I like, though, is that he's having a sip of his drink now. We actually put him to the test. We squeezed that giant brain of his.
You did really well.
Thanks.
High five. Great success.
Now you went through the Star Wars ones, mm-hmm. which was impressive. There was Harry Potter. Did you say Star Wars Clone Wars?
No, I didn't say Clone Wars.
Pirates of the Caribbean, Harry Potter. There were a Lot of the Rings ones, which you said there was.
No, I didn't say Lord of the Rings.
You
or
didn't?
I didn't say Hobbit.
Ah, because there those was
were
Hobbit.
Next, those were my next ones up.
It was that should be a 3-person job trying to navigate through the lists as you were throwing them out. The Batman.
Yeah, I didn't do Batman or DC.
But you did pretty well, I'd say. Damien, I think Tom won the game.
I think so. By default, it was a very Stephen Bradbury moment there.
Yes.
Well done. Here's your gold medal.
Thanks.
Follow victory. But it's a victory.
Gee, there are some Lego games. There was also a Lego Friends one, which I didn't look into, but in my mind, I wanted it to be the TV show Friends. Just Lego.
Lego Friends is the line they have for girls, for young girls.
Girls would like that.
Yes.
Specifically for girls?
Yep.
If you do have a quiz, not just a challenge for Tom, but for any or all of us, you can always email us and the bloke will tell you how.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I think that is enough watching for today. That was a long list.
My balls are sore.
Is that just in preparation for episode 20?
Partly.
Is the other part something you should go and see the GP about?
Maybe.
Okay, fair enough. Well, good luck with that, Ash.
Thank you.
Tom.